Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies are not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone.
Let's all stand a minute. Louis, I'm sorry, but I told you I wasn't going to say anything, but I got to say something. I got a call at 5 o'clock on my way, getting ready for church, and the doctor's office called and said, your numbers have cut in half from 8-4 to 4-2 on your AC1 or AL or whatever that is, AL1. You're no longer diabetic. And you don't have to take any insulins. And she kept saying, these are incredible numbers. I mean, all the other blood checks that went down, I got my chart report, which is really neat, and everything was to the right. All these numbers came back, were halfway past, under halfway to the left. So it's just the fact that believing in his healing. Amen. Yeah. You won't find anybody more than I that believes and has faith in his healing. Amen. I mean, he's done some incredible things in my body. Amen. Not deserving of it either. Amen. But by stripes, we are healed. Amen. That's for all of us. Amen. Let's change over the service. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted in love, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I trust that you all are doing good. And praise the Lord anyways for the rain and whether it's sunshine or good time, bad time outside. We came to hear the word of God, right? Amen. Praise God. Amen. We just thank God for that great praise report for Brother Boyd, from Brother Boyd. We just appreciate the Lord. I said, I told him that no matter, God still heals no matter how old you are. Amen. And I didn't mean that as a joke. I just doesn't matter, you know. But it came out like that. So, but God is still God, you know. He's still on the throne. Amen. And so we just thank God for that. Praise the Lord. And that the doctors will keep being just shocked at the improvement that he's making. Amen. We just thank God for that. Appreciate that song. Wonderful. Zoe, thank you for that. And also, yeah, just continue to pray for Brother Wade and also the recovery of Brother Bob. It's a little surgery. See, he says that he's doing better. He's recovering better and better. So we just appreciate that. And just continue to remember Brother Dale and the family. Amen. May God just continue to touch his body. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't want to keep you all standing too long, and I don't plan to keep you all here too long this evening. So if we want to turn to the Bible this evening, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about a little strange title, but I called it God's favorite tool that he uses to express himself. Amen. And God has tools. Amen. Even Satan is a tool in his hand. Remember that. And there is this particular thing that God loves to use in order to express himself that we're going to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so let's just bow our heads before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for the opportunity that you give us, Father, to open back the pages of your word. We realize, Lord God, that we're insufficient within ourselves, Lord. We're not even worthy, Lord God, to even read these words, Father God. But, Lord, you've made us worthy, Lord, through your blood, Lord Jesus. through the redemptive process, Heavenly Father, of the your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord God. And now, Lord, we as born-again believers, Lord God, have access and have complete, Father God, redemption, Father God, through your word, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for the opportunity that you give us this evening. We pray that you would continue to bless those amongst us, Father, with needs. We pray for Brother Dale. We ask that you continue to strengthen him, Lord, and continue to bless him, Lord God, and be with Nanny, Lord, strengthen her, strengthen the family, Lord Jesus. And I pray, dear God, that you would also, Lord, just continue to give Brother Bob a speedy recovery. Watch over Brother Wade as he's traveling, Lord God. And Lord, we want to commit this service into your hands, Father God. You speak to the hearts as you see fit, Lord God. Use my lips, Lord God, to say only what that you'd want me to say, Lord Jesus. Father God, I commit myself into your hands now, and this service into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted," this is Paul speaking, "unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Amen. Paul's speaking here and saying that unless I get exalted by the things that God has revealed to me, God gave me a little prod, gave me a little something, a little thorn to keep me humble. And we thank God for that. Because if Paul needed it, we certainly needed it. Amen. To keep us humble. Keep us under his control. And there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So he asked the Lord three times for that to be taken away from him. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In other words, my grace is enough for you. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Amen. My strength is made perfect in weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So here's Paul speaking and bringing out his problem. And then after God tells him, "My grace is sufficient, so don't worry, Paul. Just keep moving on." Then Paul changes his mindset and says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Amen. What a strange thing to say. Amen. To glory in the things that you are going through. I mean, not just infirmities like sicknesses, but even the problems that we have, domestic problems, financial issues. Amen. God will not give us more than what we can handle. That's a promise in the word. So we better just might as well just glory in them. Because in glory in them, amen, you bring those around you and say, "Wow, that person can praise the Lord even in the situation that they're in." And it might give them strength. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You may be seated this afternoon. Amen. So And so it said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Amen. And that right there is the tool that God likes to use. Just started off right there. Amen. God loves to use the tool of weakness in order to express himself. Amen. Praise God. I remember one time in the scriptures where the Bible says that he has placed, God has placed his treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. What are those earthen vessels? That's you and me. Amen. That is you and me as weaklings. Amen. Because we have no power within ourselves. We have no strength within ourselves. We come to this world, amen, as babies, not having dependent upon a mother, upon someone to take care of us. Amen. And if it wasn't for God, amen, even from the time that we came out of the womb, amen, where would we be in this day? where would we be in the hour that we're living in? Amen. If it wasn't for God, amen. For us to be haughty and proud and some even blaspheme God, not knowing that it's God that's making even the heart that's beating inside their chest. It's God. And God could stop that right there at any moment. Amen. And they would be nothing. Amen. But it pleased God to put his word or his treasures in a bride in this hour. In earthen vessels that you're in. Now, you walk around the world in the day that we're living in, amen, nobody's going to think that you are the bride of Christ. That's the bride of Christ. She looks like that. He looks like that. They would not think. Oh, yeah, they'll say you're a Christian, but they don't understand the power that dwells in a born-again Christian. Amen. That's part of the body of Christ. Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ in this hour is powerful. And she doesn't have to show it. But the works, amen, of God, amen, will it be expressed through her? Because why? The Bible said, Brother Branham said that the voice is in the bride now. Amen. We're not replacing God. No, we just speak as God speaks. Amen. Praise God. So we speak, amen, because the word of God says it. And we're not replacing God. Amen. There's no other like Jesus Christ. But the voice is in the bride now. Amen. Now, how do you say that? Brother Branham said that. So you can argue with him. Praise God. We believe that he was a prophet, right? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, real quickly, Brother Branham talks about this in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And he talks about the three ways that God wanted to express himself. Amen. And the threefold purpose that he had. Amen. And one of the ways is to express himself completely through Christ. Amen. And we know that he came and he was born and took our human ways and became a man and to suffer and to work and to sweat and to do everything like we, so that he could show, amen, and understand what you and I go through, amen, and so that he could become our kinsman, amen, so that he could properly redeem us, amen. Because there was no other way for us to be redeemed if we didn't have a kinsman just like us to redeem us. Amen. And Brother Branham says that God who was a spirit and took up all space and time and there was no way for him to redeem us unless he expressed himself in human form. Amen. And he did that through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just thankful for that. Amen. Praise God. But he not only wanted to just leave it at Christ. Because many people, sometimes they just put it and leave it just all on Christ. But what he put in Christ, amen, God has also poured into his church, amen. Praise God. And second, that he wanted to have the preeminence in his church, which is his body, amen, the bride in this hour, amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise God. Do you believe that you're a part of that body? Yes, sir. Amen. He says here, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Amen. Praise God. And that's what God wants in this hour. Amen. He just doesn't want to just give a Bible and that's it. we could all just read the Bible and that's it. Amen. But he wants a living word in this hour. Amen. He wants you to live the Bible. Praise God. And so many people can read the Bible. But not many people can live it. And that's what the bride of Christ is here to do. Amen. To express him. Amen. To express the expressed God. Praise the Lord. And thirdly, he wanted to restore. This is his third manifold. The way he wanted to express himself. Third, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Amen. So those are three things that God, the way he wanted to express himself, amen, through Christ, through you, amen. And also through his kingdom, amen, He's going to express himself, amen, through this thing is coming back to an Eden form, amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, we know, amen, that we are not going to be able to rule this kingdom unless the kingdom of God first is ruling in us. Amen. And what is the kingdom of God? It is the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we don't know how to rule our own kingdom, we won't be able to rule and reign properly there. Amen. So God is going to restore, and God is restoring. Amen. But it has to be, it has to start with you. Amen. Inside out. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we try to do it from the outside in, and it doesn't work. It's like Brother Branham said, you're just putting peacock feathers on a buzzard carcass. Amen. You're just trying to look good. But in reality, you don't have the goods. Amen. And we don't want to be that way in this hour. We want to know that we know that we know that we're born again. Praise God. Amen. That we are filled with the Holy Ghost. And that God, amen, is ready, has a willing vessel. You are a willing vessel that he could express himself through in this hour. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham continues to say here in the mystery of Christ revealed, but he had to put man on free moral agency to fall. He had to do it so that he might be a savior. Amen.
Right.
To display what's in him. See his attribute of savior. Something had to be lost. And you know, for me, this was this quote. And then actually this message was what opened my eyes when I first came into the message. It was the first message that I actually read. And God does things in such peculiar ways, but yet they're his perfect ways. Amen. Because as some of you all have heard my testimony, before that time, that was in 1999, I had always asked and wrestled in my mind. I was a Christian. Of course, you know, I went through my rebellious period, you know, and I did things of the world, but I wanted to come back at the age of 19, started serving the Lord. But I always asked myself, I said, Lord, why is it that if you know the beginning from the end, if you are eternal, all-knowing, then why did you create Adam and Eve and you knowing that they were going to fall?
Right.
Seems like a legitimate question, right? And God, there in Columbia, 1999, not Columbia, South Carolina, but Columbia, South America, a cousin of my mom's had learned about the message. He gave us some message books. And out of all the 1,100 messages, this was the message that I picked up. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. It was in Spanish. And as I was reading through that sermon, I came across this, and it exactly answered the question that I had always in my mind that I just talked about. And I came running out of that room, and I was looking for my parents. I was like, Mom, Dad, look what I just read. It struck me. It did something to me.
Amen.
Because it revealed to me God's purpose, and that I'm no accident, and that you're not an accident. Amen. And that God, amen, had to allow sin to come, had to allow for Adam to make the choice that he made in order for God to display his attributes. Because if there was nothing to sick, that he could not show that he was a healer. And if there was nothing that was lost, he could not show that he was a savior. And I was lost. And I'm glad, amen, that he was able to show that attribute, amen, so that he could save me, amen? Amen. And if he could save you too, praise the Lord. And I just thank God for that. And that never struck me. And then it just piled, the revelations piled on after that. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? When something's a revelation, Satan can't even take that away from me. Amen. That's why I don't understand, amen, how can people leave this word? I don't get it.
That's right.
Something was not revealed.
Exactly.
It was just head knowledge. But when something is revealed, amen, the devil, amen, the demons out of hell, amen, cannot even take that away from you.
That's right.
Amen. Do you think that God could, do you think Satan could take away from you one God? once you know that there's only one God, amen, and it's not a Trinity, that I believed throughout the seven church ages of denominations that I went through. You can't take that away from me now. Amen. One God. Praise the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Amen. And Brother Branham continues to say here, amen, yes, give the Lord praise. And the very thing that man fell and become lost, he become the savior of that. Taking his own law, and he could not do it as the great Jehovah that covered all space-time. See, he couldn't do it, and he had to become a man, and he took kinship with the man that was lost, amen, and become a man, God made flesh, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And if you, I'm going through that sermon again, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, and I encourage you all to go through that. It's a powerful sermon. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, let's talk about the word expression for just a moment. And this is what the dictionary says the word is. It says the process of making known one's thoughts or feelings. Amen. Now, isn't that what God wanted to do? Amen. God had thoughts from the beginning. Amen. And it wasn't just, he didn't want them just in his head. He didn't want it to just be head knowledge. He wanted to express those thoughts. Amen. Amen. And that's when he spoke. Amen. And things started coming into existence. Amen. And that's what words are. When you say something, that is a thought expressed. Amen. You have to think it first. Then say it. That's the reason why sometimes somebody says something to you and they say, well, I was just kidding. But wait a second. You had to think that first before you actually said it. I was just messing around, brother. I'm just joking. No, wait a second. You had to think that first, right, before you say it. Now, sometimes, you know, some people, you do question that. You know, they just blurt things out. but that is... Exactly. You have to think, amen, before you say something. And so it was with God, amen. He had thoughts, amen. He had you in his mind. But that wasn't enough. He wanted to fellowship with you. He wanted to have communion with you, amen. He wanted to have, amen, a relationship with you. And you can't have a relationship, amen, with just thoughts, amen. They have to be expressed. They have to be in word form and then come and be expressed, amen, physically. Praise the Lord. Because the word, I believe the word is a continual creator. Amen. Amen. When God said, let there be, amen, I believe that word is still going. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's continuing to create. Amen. That's something the devil hates because he can't do it. Amen. God's word, amen, is eternal. Amen. So what he said from the beginning, amen, continues all throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's a continual creator. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the word expression means the process of making known one's thoughts or feelings. The act of making your thoughts, feelings, etc., known by speech, writing, or some other method. You know, we take a look at, for example, the famous man in history who expressed their own thoughts through. You take Shakespeare, for example. He expressed his thoughts through dramas and through poetry and through writings. And that was his strength in order to express what was in him, right? Amen. You take, for example, the famous scientist, Nikola Tesla. Who's ever heard of Nikola Tesla? Amen. He lived around the time of Einstein. Amen. But Nikola Tesla, amen, he was a scientist, and that was the way he expressed his beliefs or his theories or his things, amen, through his tests and his experiments and through science. That was his strength, right? You take actors today, for example. You take, I don't know, Will Smith or Denzel Washington or any of these actors today. They express whatever role they're playing, amen, because that is their strength, right? That is what they were called to do, I guess. But God is not so. God expresses his strength through weakness. They express their strength, amen. They express their thoughts through their strength. God expresses his thoughts through weakness. Think about that. Amen. That's the tool that God likes to use. And so we are the weak ones. Amen. We are weak. Amen. We are nothing but sheep. At least we should be. Amen. And when we're not, amen, following the shepherd the way we should be, amen, then we're just goats then. Amen. We're just acting like goats. We're sheep acting like goats. Amen. Because sometimes we know better, but yet we still want to butt. And we still want to rebel. And we still don't want to follow the shepherd. Amen. So therefore, he has to take his staff, his crooked staff, with the hook and bring us back into the fold and say, get back in here. You're one of mine. I'm not losing not one. Amen. Get back in the fold. Amen. And quit your cutting up. And I'm thankful for that rod and that staff. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. That brings us in order. Amen. And he does it lovingly. Amen. He doesn't bang a pow and then brings him. Amen. He does it lovingly. Right? He does. Come on. Maybe a little jerk that they feel it and they know that he means business. But that's what that staff is there for. That's what David said. Amen. We'll read it here in just a moment. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they guide me. In Psalms chapter 23. Praise the Lord. Now there is a difference between a rod and a staff. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. Praise God. But God, he expresses his mind through weaknesses. The world, these artists and these people, amen, they express their mind through their strengths. God expresses his mind through weaknesses, through disappointments, so that the world may think we are. But that's what God likes to use. Amen. God likes to use something that looks like it's almost at the verge of dying or at the verge. Amen. And that's where God likes to work best. Amen. The weakest Christian on their knees puts the devil, amen, to on the run. Amen. The weakest Christian. How much then a strong Christian can do? Amen. If a weak Christian can do that, how much more a strong Christian? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Paul said it here in 2 Corinthians 12. Now we just read it. He said here, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's so awesome, amen, to think. It's striking that he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That wasn't Paul saying that. That was God telling Paul that. My strength is made perfect through weak situations, through weak bodies, through weak areas in your life. Amen. God can show his strength through that. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we go through life and we wonder, why, Lord, why can't this be taken away from me right now? And then I keep wrestling with this. You know, I love you, Lord, but I just can't get away from this. I'm struggling. I'm fighting. Amen. And God says, just keep leaning on my word. I'm going to use that to make you a better Christian. Amen. Amen. No matter what it is in your life, God uses the weakest things, amen, the weakest area in your life to make you stronger. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let's look at Moses' rod here for just a moment. How many want to do that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then a few more verses. But if we look at Moses' rod, amen, Moses' rod represented Moses' weakness. Because you think about this. Now, Moses had had left Egypt because somebody saw him killing an Egyptian because he was trying to defend one of his countrymen. Right? So he thought he was doing a good deed. But he ended up in his own good deed, thinking that he was doing something good. He ended up doing, amen, something that he wasn't supposed to do. He says, well, surely this thing is found out. People know about this. So he takes off and he runs to Midian. He gets married and he becomes a shepherd. And he thinks that in his life that that's all he's going to do. Amen. He created his own plan. This is what I'm doing. Forget it. I can't go back to Egypt. I had good times there at that church, and in those days that was good. That was wonderful. Amen. But I just can't go back. I've got to continue. I've got to continue living. Yeah, I got to raise a family, and I've just, this is what I choose.
Right.
And so it was all about him then. It was I, me, me, me. And that's what we do sometimes. Amen. We put God out of the picture, and we just say, I, me, me, me. And we want to live to an island to ourselves and just move on with our life. And that's what Moses thought that he was going to be able to do.
Right.
But God, amen, wasn't going to allow that. God had a purpose for Moses. Amen. So we see here in Exodus chapter 3, God appears to Moses in a burning bush. He speaks to him. And then here in chapter 4, Moses replies. And he says, and Moses answered and said, but behold. Now here he became a goat. All the 40 years that he was away, not doing what he was called to do. And he ended up becoming a goat instead of a sheep. So what God does, he's prepared. We'll just read it. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. You see, that's what happens, amen, when we stay away from the will of God. The will of God is for you to come to church. The will of God for you to be in his word, amen? Amen. We become goats. but, you know. Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? It's not that God didn't know what it was in his hand, but he wanted Moses to tell him what was in his hand. What do you have in your hand, Moses? And he said, a rod. Now, I said earlier that a rod and a staff are two different tools that shepherds use. They use both of them interchangeably, and it's not the same thing. Now, I know sometimes we look and we see sometimes that the crooked one is actually the staff. The rod is actually a smaller stick that is used to protect the sheep, to protect them against animals. He also, the shepherd also uses it as a walking stick, but it was almost like a club, and he was able to wield that thing much easier. And he would also use that rod to count the sheep as well. And it makes me think, amen, about Jesus Christ, how he gave that parable, amen, about the lost sheep, amen. He lost, 99 were found, 99 were not lost, amen, but that one was lost, amen. How did he know how many he had? Well, it was a rod that they used to use, amen. And with that rod, he would count, the shepherd counts the sheep, amen. And he's not banging them upside the head, he just kind of, prodding them. And he counts the sheep and to let him know how many sheep, because he knows how many sheep he's supposed to have, amen. He knows, amen, he's not going to lose not one this day in the hour that we're living in, saints. He's not going to lose not one, amen. He knows, amen, who he predestinated to be conformed to his image, amen. They will come, amen. You came. You aren't going to be lost, amen. Some way, somehow, he'll go out and find you, amen. Praise God. Even if he has to pick you up and put you on his shoulders, break your leg, amen, and put you on his shoulders, but he's going to mend you afterwards, amen. Whatever he has to do, amen. But he's going to bring him. He's not going to lose not one. But this rod, amen, is used for protection, amen. And then the staff is used mainly for the sheep, amen, to guide the sheep, to lead them, Amen. And so what Moses says here is that he says he has a rod. So according to what he said, it looked like he had the club is what he had. Amen. And so, and we know that a rod and a staff, they're made out of wood, and wood represents humanity. Amen. So here is this rod and this staff that is made of wood. It's weak. It's not strong unless the human wields it and uses it. Amen. But it's nothing within itself. Yet God asks Moses, what is that in thy rod in thy hand? After Moses tries to give an excuse. You don't want to be used by me? All right, I'm going to use a stick instead. And he said, now watch what the Lord said to Moses. And he said, cast it on the ground. And so Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And then Moses fled from before it. In other words, he got scared and he ran. Right? I think I would too. Snakes just looking at him, amen, may give you give you chills. Amen. Imagine, amen, the staff that you were holding in your hand, amen. And when he released it, amen, God could then use it. Amen. It's when you let go of whatever you have a hold of, amen, that God can actually use in your life. Amen. And if you don't let go of that, amen, then God can't do anything about it. But when you let it go, amen, God can take a hold of it, amen, and use it for his glory. Amen. And to show you his power. Amen. Amen. What if Moses would have still held on to it? God would not be able to change it into a serpent. Amen. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Pick it up, Moses. You just now saw it turn into a snake. Your stick turned into a snake. Now, why don't you go ahead and pick it up? Imagine if you were Moses. I don't know I really need revelation. Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand. Moses put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. Amen. So it became a rod again. What it was originally meant to be. Amen. It became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And then let's skip down to verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, here's Moses again with his excuses. Oh, my Lord, after he had just seen what just happened, I am not eloquent, neither that heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, and or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Amen. Amen. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand him whom thou wilt send. Just don't send me. He's still bucking against God. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So God got angry with Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. And watch verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Amen. All right. Now verse 18. Let's just skip down to verse 19. Moses in verse 18 asked his father-in-law, let us go. I believe what God said. I'm going to take Egypt to take over because God said so. Amen. I'm convinced and concerned. Amen. And so verse 19 says, and the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And watch, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So now it's not the rod of Moses anymore. Now is the rod of God.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you put into God's hand, amen, becomes God's. Amen. If you leave it alone and let God use it, amen, it becomes his. Amen. If you just yield it unto him. Amen. God wanted to express himself through Moses. Amen. Through this rod. And not necessarily through the rod, but it showed that Moses' obedience to God's word, and that rod was the symbol of Moses' obedience to his word. Amen. And we see that throughout the plagues, and throughout many times God would say, you know, let out the rod or pull, let it out, and then flies and things would come about, you see? Amen. So God wanted to express his wonders through that avenue. Amen? Amen. A simple rod that represents humanity, that's what God wanted to use. Amen? And that's how God wants to use you and me in this hour. Amen?
Amen?
Something simple. Something insignificant, you might think. But in reality, you're worth more than 10,000 worlds.
Amen.
Your soul is.
That's right.
And God, amen, as I said, I've always said before, amen, God loved you so much, amen, that he loved you so much that he was willing to die this much for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Stretch forth his hand to die for you. Amen. You're worth it in his eyes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that rod, amen, within itself wasn't anything. Amen. But it just merely represented Moses' obedience to God's word. Amen. And it did powerful things. Amen. It did powerful things when Moses gave it over to God. Amen. Now in Psalms chapter 23, David says here, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Amen. I'm so glad that he's our shepherd.
Amen.
And when he's our shepherd, amen, we're not going to be lacking anything.
Amen.
Amen. God has everything that we need, amen, when we allow him to be our shepherd. And so this is what David is expressing here. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Amen. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Amen. Praise God. So for the bride of Christ, amen, his rod, amen, is for comfort. The rod became a discomfort to the Egyptians, amen, in Moses' hand. It became a tool of defense, amen, where God defends, amen, the sheep, the scattered sheep of Israel, amen, from their enemies, from the wolves of the Egyptian wolves. And that's what God used, amen, used Moses' rod to be. But for us, amen, it's to lead and guide us and to comfort us in this hour, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Is your cup runneth over? Even in 2023, in rainy November 2023. Amen.
Amen.
Is your cup running over? Are you excited about God just as much as when God, amen, called your name and said, "Come serve me"? Amen.
Right.
We should be saints.
Amen.
We should be. You know, sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes we wonder, "Lord, why what am I doing?" Do you ever ask yourself that?
Yes.
"Lord, what am I supposed to do? I feel lost. I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. There's something I've got to do." And then you start thinking about how God called you and from the beginning, amen, and how he's led you even to the point where you are now, amen.
Right.
And you're like, you realize you went through and you passed through the areas of your life that you exactly needed to go through in order to be where you are right now. God don't want you anywhere else if this is where you are right now. Right? If this is where you are at this moment, amen, this is where God wanted you. Amen? Now, I'm not necessarily speaking here in this church. I'm just saying in the position that you're in right now. Right? So God is not late. God is an on-time God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham says here, and I'm just going a little quickly. I promised you guys I wasn't going to keep you long because I wanted to give a little mission report before we head out next week and just kind of give a little update of some projects and things that have gone through this year. But Brother Branham says here, what kind of a weapon you going to use? He's asking the question. You remember Pharaoh's got a lot of chariots and swordsmen and horsemen and everything like that. He had a crooked stick in his hand. Speaking of Moses, what's in your hand? Brother Branham asks. You might not be able to whistle, but you can do something. Man, whatever's in your hand, use it to the glory of God. Whatever's in your hand. Whatever is at your disposal. Sometimes we feel like we've got to go to the hospital and raise the dead, or pray for all the sick, or do something great. But what are you doing with what God's given you now? Right? What are you doing now with your family? What are you doing now in your position as a mother? What are you doing now in the position as a father or as a husband? Amen. See, that's where God wants you at that moment. Amen. To express Him. Amen. Praise God. And you might feel weak. You might feel like you're nothing. In the midst of the bride and the people, you feel very insignificant. But if you have eternal life, amen, you're just as big, amen, as the greatest preacher in this message. Amen. Amen. Because He's got the same eternal life that you do. And it's not any less, it's not any more. Amen. It's the same God. Praise the Lord Jesus. I know sometimes our young people, sometimes they feel that way. Amen. They feel like I'm insignificant. What am I supposed to do? Amen. But God has a plan for you. Amen. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. When you seek His kingdom, amen, then God will guide you exactly where you need to be. Praise the Lord. Whatever's in your hand, use it to the glory of God. Give it to Him and let Him bless it. Just as Moses gave Him his rod, amen, and let Him bless it, amen. And watch what takes place. Certainly, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, no matter what your talent is, no matter what it is, God placed gifts in your life. Amen. Ask the Lord and see, how can I use this gift for the embetterment of the body, amen. It may seem little and insignificant to you, but give it over to God one time. Amen. What little faith you got, amen, press it in yonder and put it on the cross of Calvary and believe God's promise for it. Amen. And watch what takes place. Amen. Brother Branham tells the story, the little story of the little boy who had the loaves and the fish and the little loaves, and it was the little boy's lunch. But when Jesus came around and He was going to feed the 5,000, amen, He gave His little lunch to Jesus, amen, with the two loaves that He had of bread, or the five loaves or the two fishes, and that's all He had in His little lunch bag. But He just gave it over to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied the thing in order to feed 5,000, amen. You know, I like what the testimony that Brother Vernon was telling about the little boy in the Philippines, a little first grader. I don't know if y'all paid attention to that or not. A little first grade boy. I thought that was striking. That all he did was just going to school, and he wasn't telling people about Brother Branham. He wasn't telling people about the message. He wasn't telling people about Jesus. He was just living out what his parents were living at home. And what he was doing was he would pray for his meal. And it was strange to his teacher. And his teacher looked at him and he said, "Son, who are your parents?" And he said, "My parents are such and such." They go to church?" "Yeah, we go to church over here, such and such." And she said, "Well," and so she got in touch with his parents, and his parents gave her the address. She went to church, and through that, amen, she got baptized and accepted the message. Amen. The little boy didn't ever tell her not one thing. It was just only him praying for his lunch. Amen. Amen. Just little things like that God uses, amen, to save 10,000 worlds. Amen. Amen. That was 10,000 worlds right there. Amen. Amen. What a powerful testimony. How God does things so, so peculiar. And yet they're his perfect ways. Amen. So if we're weaklings and God uses us, amen, our weakness to express himself, we know that Satan, amen, he's weak because all power has been stripped away from him. He has no power in this hour. Amen. He's only a bluff when he talks to you. He's only lying when he says you've got such and such a problem. You've got cancer. You've got diabetes. You've got a problem with your heart. You've got to have this, this, that, or the other. Your family, this, that, or the other. Your children will never come to the Lord and this, that, or the other. Remember, all power has been stripped from him. Amen. Praise God. And all he is being used is as a tool in God's hand in order to express himself in a mighty way. And you watch and see how God's going to perform. Amen. 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 All he is a weakling, just like you are a weakling. Amen. But now, amen, because you've been born again, you have strength through him. Amen. Satan can't be born again like you and me.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. He's still weak. So he belongs, amen. The only thing he wants that he can see is the bottom of our shoe. That's the only thing that he's supposed to see. Amen. He's supposed to be under your feet. And he rises up, amen, around the little corner or between your toe there. And he says, "You've got cancer. You've got diabetes. Amen. You've got this, that, and your other." Amen. That's where he's supposed to stay.
Amen.
By your faith in his word.
Right.
Put it to action.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Put that thing into action. Amen.
Amen.
And God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
Because, amen, he's already a defeated weakling.
That's right. Right.
Satan is nothing but a lie.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And he talks to you every day. Talks to me every day.
Twice.
Amen. Yeah, three times. Talks to me every day. As soon as I get up in the morning,
yep,
he's already talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I got to stomp him.
Amen.
Wait, you belong under my shoe just like the roach I killed in the bathroom the other night. That's where you belong, Satan. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Amen?
Right.
That's where he belongs. Because that's what Jesus did. Amen? He didn't play with Satan.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
He didn't play his games. Amen. But sometimes that's what we do. We play along. And then that's where we get in trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We could take also Gideon. Amen. Just real quick. And Gideon. Amen. He was a weakling. If you read the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. Amen. To me, I like that story. Because Gideon was just doing what Moses was doing in the desert. I'm just doing my own thing. I'm living my own life. I'm here, you know, doing my farming and I ain't got time to deal with these enemies around me. And the enemies around him, and the kingdom being taken over, and here comes the angel of the Lord, God himself, appears to Gideon, and he tells him, he said, "Thou mighty man of valor."
Right.
He's calling him something that he thinks that he is not.
Right.
Gideon didn't think himself that way, but God did.
Right.
And he said, thou mighty man of valor. Amen. Amen. And then so Gideon says, wait a second. So, Lord, if it's you, then if it's you and if you are real, then why are all these things happening to us? We're supposed to be prospering. We're supposed to be your people. And he has a discourse there with the angel. And he says, listen, I'm going to use you, Gideon. I don't care what you think about yourself. I have a plan for you. Right. Amen? Amen. And so Gideon had to realize, amen, that through his weakness, amen, he was able to conquer and be the judge that God called him to be. Amen? Right. And you can read there at the end, amen, with... But at the end, amen, he destroys that whole... I forgot the city or the people that they were supposed to fight, their name. But 300 men that God used, amen, that Gideon led, amen, in order to defeat over 1,500 men. Amen. And all they had was just lanterns in their hands. They had vessels with candles in it. And they were running down the mountain. And Moses and Gideon told them, shatter those things. And through that, it caused chaos in the camp of the enemy. And they thought that it was thousands of them getting ready to rush them. And it was only 300 of them. And it was only just earthen vessels. Earthen vessels made by man. But when God is in the work, when God is being you, when the word of the Lord is being followed, God can make it seem like, amen, it's a whole host of angels. Amen. A whole host. Amen. Satan can't do nothing against that. Amen. Satan is, amen. That's what we do when we take the word of God. Amen. Take it, its promises. Amen. Satan won't be able, can't handle that. He takes off running. And that's where he needs to be. Satan, you just run right back under my feet. Amen. Where you belong. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many love the Lord? Amen. Amen. All right. So, I left my phone in here. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was going to connect it. As you all know, we're getting ready to leave next Friday to our trip to Honduras. And so we would covet your prayers. Amen. Next Friday would be November 24th. That's the day after Thanksgiving. And we certainly covet your prayers. But I wanted to, I just wanted to show you all the progress. I don't know if you all remember earlier this year, Brother Dale, if the brothers could bring the screen up. Brother Dale, We helped with some money, some funds, to Brother Robert and his church there in Honduras. Make this big. Okay. I don't know if y'all can see that. Okay, there you go. All right. Now, Brother Robert, he's the pastor there. And so in October, they sent me a video of the progress of how that's going. What it was is they just needed to build upon the church. They needed to have a kitchen, and they needed to make more bathrooms because they're going to have a pastor's meeting or a minister's meeting there in this coming year. And they just wanted to be able to accommodate, you know, the and of course, they don't have the funds to be able to do that work. So we helped them out. I believe it was $6,000 that we helped them out with. And so they sent a video of kind of the progress that they were making. And so this is so at the beginning right here, this is a sister, Brother Robert's wife. This area right here is going to be the little kitchen area, where they're going to be able to cook many meals, a lot of food for a lot of visitors that come. And so that's the area that they needed. And then That's the church at the end right there. That's the church.
Right there.
And then there's Brother Robert. So all this is provided by the church. So right here is where they're going to have the little pastor study. Right here where they're taking down those columns, that's where they're going to have that little study that they were wanting to have, because the study has always been inside the pastor's house. This is the pastor's house where they're at, the front porch here. And so they would, I preached there personally. And so you go in there, and that's where you come out of his house. That's the study, to go to the pulpit to preach. So they wanted to have an actual pastor study, and so that's what they're building right there. And so they told me that they were going to make more, give me more updates on that. And so I just wanted to share that with you all. Also, this wasn't something done by the church, but it was provided by the funds at Brother Joe Green's camp in North Carolina this past, not this last August, but the August of last year. And we were able to, I made a request for this, and it was about $4,500. And this was a church that we were able to build and help build there in Honduras that they were needing. And this is a little quick video of the church. This is Brother Natividad's, I think his last name is Varela. And that's the little church now. So they were just I've preached here in this area before, and all they had was just a small kind of wooden shed looking building. So they wanted something, you know, made out of brick. So those funds from Brother Joe Green's church helped build that. So we thank God for that. And then just to give it a little update here on this is little baby Olam. Now you all are gonna see Brother little baby Olam here next month, Lord willing, when Brother Eric comes. But we all have been praying about his ears. If you know, he was born with closed earlobes or his ear canal. And so they went for the test a couple of weeks ago to see, because they were thinking that he actually had problems with his eardrums and things. But those tests, at this doctor's visit, those tests came out good. He doesn't have issues with his actual eardrums and stuff. It's just that the ear canal is closed, and so that's the reason why he's not able to hear that good. So they put this device on him where it's picking up so he can hear. And so it's temporarily for him. It's temporarily for him to be able to hear. And so, but he pray for them, because they still need to have the surgery to open up his ear canals a little bit more. And so, but God is at work. God answered prayer about this, because we thought and they thought, they were concerned that he had problems with his actual eardrums, and the eardrums are there. They're fine. It's just that. Am I right, sweetheart? Is that correct? I get. She's the one. Okay. They were there. Okay. So thank you all for praying, Brother Ryan and Brother Terrence. I know you all have been reading this request, and we appreciate that. Amen. And I know that they do. And I'm sure that Brother Eric, when he comes and speaks for us next month, he will give a little bit more details as to that. So we thank God. Amen. God is at work, and he's still, amen. So you all remember us in your prayers. We'll be heading next Friday, November 24th. And then we're going to meet Brother Aaron down there December 1st. So remember him in your prayers as well. And the youth camp down there is going to be, we're going to be ministering in an area called Danli, in some of those areas there in the mountains. It's an area I have not visited before, but there's brothers that want us to visit some families, some churches there, and just give them some strength. Amen. And then when Brother Aaron comes, we're going to be attending a national ministers meeting that they have. I believe it's like bi-monthly. So we're going to be attending that. And so we'll be there. And then right after that, on the 7th of December, Brother Eric Gallo's youth camp, which some of you all helped with the food and all that. Thank God that was all taken care of. So we just appreciate each and every one of y'all who helped with that. Amen. And the youth camp will be there from the 7th through the 10th. So you all remember us in your prayers during that time, that God would just have his way. Amen. 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 Then Brother Aaron, I think you leave on the 12th, 11th? The 11th, and then we come back on the 12th. So remember us in your prayers. Amen. Amen. And that the Lord would just have his way. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. We have the musicians come, and let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for your word once again. And Lord, we realize, Lord Jesus, that, Father God, your word, Father, is power, Lord. And Father, whatever we yield to you, Lord God, you are more than able to use it, Father, for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we just ask that, Father, we would take these little thought, Lord God, of how you used Moses' rod, Lord God, and you performed your wonders, Lord God, through Moses, but as the rod, Father, symbolizing, Father God, what you can do, Lord, through us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just anoint your word to our lives, Lord. Let us be not, Father God, just hearers of your word. Let us be doers, Father. Let us, Father God, take these things and go out, Father God, and heal the sick and raise the dead. Do, Father God, as we are led, Lord, to do. Grant it, Lord Jesus, for you promised in your word, Lord God, that these signs shall follow them that believe. To them, Father God, who are called by your name, Lord. And so we're believers in this hour, Lord. And we believe, Father, that you've given us the tool of your word, Lord. Father God, and the devil is defeated. And your bride, Father, is rising up in this hour. She's realizing who she is, Lord. And your prophet told us, Father God, that when she recognizes who she really is, then, Father God, she would be an unstoppable army. Satan, Father God, would have nothing, Lord God, against her. He's a defeated foe. And we must recognize it as that, Lord Jesus. Help us to do so, Father. Lord, we just commit our brethren and everyone heading back home this evening into your hands. We love you. We appreciate you. And we just ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just sing this real quick and then we can be dismissed.
All the time, put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. All the time, put a song of praise in this heart. Thank you. And his word is
shine. God is good. My God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Till the last He chose to die. He filled us with His Spirit. Now we can and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy. Song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. My God is good all the time. Though I'm in understand all the plans You have for me. My life is in Your hands, and through the lies of faith I can clearly see God is good. He's good time. He put a song of praise in this heart. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put